Hello, I'm Robert Scanlon from HotYogaDoctor.com, and I'm here with Steve Merkley. In a moment, I'll introduce Steve and ask him to tell you a little bit about himself. But today's session, we're looking at getting an idea around how is it that yoga changes our lives. We often go for something physical. We want to stretch our bodies or gain something in terms of physical fitness. But often we find that other changes come along aside that, emotional changes, even spiritual changes. Steve is a good friend of ours and someone who is one of the most amazing instructors I've come across in terms of personal change. I'm sure he's already sitting there getting embarrassed about the spiel. We're asking Steve to give his view and some of the tips that we can use in terms of empowering ourselves to get more out of change work in our yoga practice as a whole. So, Steve, welcome.
Thank you.
No worries. Now, it's interesting perhaps for our listeners as well, because I'm currently in Australia and you are in where? In Vancouver right now?
That's right, yeah.
Isn't the internet an amazing place?
It's unreal. You are right here and there's no delay even. It's beautiful.
Yes, it definitely makes life much easier for everybody. So as I was saying, we're here really talking about change, but what I think people would be curious about is more about you. And you know, I've mentioned you're a good friend of ours and, you know, been a long time friend, and we've enjoyed your own instruction as well. So perhaps, Steve, you know, tell us something about your own yoga business, what you're currently doing. If you've got anything you want folks to see on the internet, then feel free to mention it.
All right. Yeah, I'm one of the owners of Yale Town Yoga in Vancouver. And we're one of the biggest studios in the city, and we're actually undergoing a very large expansion as we speak. I have a really good group of teachers working with me. There's 25 of us right now.
Wow.
Yeah, it's good. We teach hot yoga, power yoga. Anusara is taking off. It's actually a really good community, right, in the heart of Yale Town, which is a very, very cool place to be in the city. Really feels like when I go to work that I'm coming home, you know, to good friends, and we just get to hang out and do yoga together, and it's really nice vibe.
Yeah, now you're making us all jealous now. Well, you might have just encouraged another few thousand people to suddenly move to Yale Town.
That'd be good for property values anyway.
Yes, and so tell me a bit about the expansion.
It's actually a really exciting moment for us. We've come together with Y Yoga. Y Yoga is a new company that there's basically four or five yoga studios in the city that got together, and we said, how can we do this? How can we make this more accessible to the general public? And there's only so much that we can do as, you know, sort of individual yoga studios trying to do it on our own. And if we bring our energies together, can we get it out there? Can we get the message out there to more people faster? And that's what we've done. We've come together, and it's been really, it's only been about 6 months now. And so far, so good. It's been a really exciting time for us.
Well done. It's nice to hear that. You know, we often hear rumors about yoga and business being mutually exclusive, which I certainly don't believe.
No, of course not.
I think good karma is good karma, whether it's done through business or whether it's purely done through yoga instruction. So,
Of course. I mean, the practice is so, you know, it's so life-affirming and so... it's such a positive force in the world that really it's like if yoga and business are going together, that's like, it's like, you know, the more people are touched by the practice, you know, the more people we can get to, you know, the better off the whole world will be, you know?
Well, that's perfect introduction, because this is one of the things that I just love about your view on yoga and the practice of yoga. And I thought what would be interesting for folks first is a little bit about your own professional background. Not that we need to spend hours on it, but I think it's tremendously interesting, because in Australia, for example, a massage therapist is considered somebody who just opens the doors and sets up a massage table. It's not regulated, and there's no qualification or education required, although it's preferred. Whereas I know for you, that's massively different in Canada, and it brought an enormous amount of detail to your yoga instruction that I hadn't previously experienced. So it'd be interesting for people to hear a little bit about that, and then what led you into to yoga. And I'm going to put you on the spot and tell me about your first hot yoga class too later.
All right. Actually, those two go well together. The the massage therapy course. It's just in our province actually, and it's a 3,200 hour course, so it's pretty full on, intensive for 3.5 years. You know, 8 hours a day, 5 days a week for 3.5 years, and it's full on kinesiology, anatomy, physiology, pathology. I mean, it's covered by our medical system, so it's, you know, I guess they want to cover cover their bases and make sure we know that we're very knowledgeable, in our practice, and people coming to us to improve their health. Mm. So we better know what we're talking about. It's pretty intense. It's a 3.5 year program. And at the end of the program, actually, it might have just ended. Two of my very good friends who I'd been to school with for the last 3.5 years, they said, hey, why don't you come to this yoga class? And I had really no real concept of yoga other than I'm going to go to class and stretch and whatever. And they're like, no, this is hot yoga. You're going to come and check it out. And I'm like, there's a lot of girls there. okay, I'll go. And I went, and it was hot yoga. It was Bikram yoga, and I was a triathlete at the time, and in the middle of winter training. So that means long, long rides, long, long swims, like distance training. And was in the best shape of my life, probably in the best shape of most people's lives. And I went into this class, and I got rocked. Like, seriously, rocked. And you look back on it, and there's definitely, an attitude I kind of had going into it. I'm a little bit cocky, I'm strong, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to work, and I'm going to show these yoga people, or whatever that was. but they showed me, for sure. And by the end of the class, literally lying on the floor, there's Shavasana at the end of the class, and lying on the floor, shaking, and uncontrollably, just my whole body, fingers, head to toe, just shaking, and crying, and a truck full of love hit me, and it blew my mind open. It really did. It really kind of shattered my version of reality. And I was teaching it within 8 months. I was hooked. So,
wow, that's a very quick transition. And it's just to take apart what you said as well there. I mean, you were really, really super fit. I mean, you are super fit anyway, but you were definitely super fit then and young. And so I think a lot of people have this conception that, God, if I go to hot yoga, I'm so unfit, I'm so out of it, it's just going to, roll me over like a truck. Well, you can be super fit and the same stuff happens.
Yeah, totally.
It's just one of those things. So, okay, so, yeah, pretty amazing, though, the way that, you can be, as you say, go in with an attitude thinking, oh, look, this is just yoga, I can do this. But 8 months later, you were actually teaching it. So what was, it hit you with like a truck of love, but what was it that kept you there?
The feeling that there was something right in it. Honestly, there was some truth there. And I, at the time, had no idea. I couldn't even conceptualize that much. Yeah. But I knew that, I'd sit at home, I'd come home from work or whatever at 4 o'clock, and there'd be that 6 o'clock class waiting for me. And I knew I had this, I would have this battle for the first like 3, 4, 5 months. I had this battle of whether to go or not. And I didn't want to go because it hurt so much. And it was so intense. And, my first experience. Right. And then I felt like I was compelled to go, and almost like I didn't know why. It was something just pulling me or pushing me, let's say. And that back then I couldn't intellectualize it. But it was strong enough that it kept me going. And that's it. I would go. I went 3, 4, 5 times a week. And I just got hooked, and then decided to do the training. Like, what could be better? Go down and do this training for 2 months and immerse myself in a different world. So...
Yes, I remember Gabrielle saying that you had been a fairly quick induction.
A fairly quick induction.
Like, it was what you hadn't been practicing for that long before you
Oh, yeah,
ended up
no, no,
doing
no.
the training,
Yeah, no, it was very quick.
So what
Sorry, go
changes did you notice in yourself over that period of time before you went and did the teacher training?
on. I noticed that I was getting more flexible. I mean, this you sort of start with the gross level, the most obvious level,
Yes.
and particularly at that time, that was really, the place where I was operating was it was from that level. So I definitely noticed more flexibility. I noticed that it was actually getting easier as well. The class, they were getting less and less intense. I noticed that I was generally more peaceful, like a really sort of happy, like energy, but not like a sort of a frantic mind energy or frantic kind of energy, a really calm, creative peace about me whenever I would practice, and it wouldn't just be like, during the practice, it would be for hours and days afterwards. And that was really, apart from, all the rest of it aside, is really, that was really, I think, what set me on this as a life practice.
Because when people say they get addicted, I think for me that is one of the things that you get addicted to is that superb deep sense of contentment and satisfaction that will last and last and last. And I've had some pretty chunky breaks away from hot yoga and come back to it. And every time I've come back to it, I think, oh my goodness, why? Oh, why did I stop? This is beautiful. You can almost. It's to me, it's like sinking in a psychological feather bed.
Yeah, nice.
It's really rich. It really
Yeah, that's
is.
a really good metaphor. And hot yoga in particular, I like you have at times fallen off my hot yoga practice, and for me, spent even years delving into other practices, going I'll go for a few, even a couple years where I only do, a handful of hot yoga classes. But every time I go back, and I just recently did go back in June, and I hadn't been practicing regular hot yoga for at least a year, and I started it again, and it just it, this is one of I was saying to you earlier, one of the most busy times of my whole life, and I'm really as happy or happier than I've ever been, and more peaceful and less stressed, which is really kind of a paradox there. I am 1,000 times busier than I was a year ago, but I'm infinitely less stressed. And I know the hot yoga in the last few months has been a big part of
The difference that makes the difference, yeah. I think
that.
it keeps the bucket topped up, doesn't it? The whole yoga credit thing just seems to be multiplied with hot yoga compared to almost any other practice.
For sure.
I came
For
across a
sure.
really nice quote recently, and it was it's not to do with yoga, but it's parallel. And I can't even name the source right now off the top of my head, but the quote went essentially something like this: a half an hour of meditation is a day daily half an hour of meditation is suitable for most people. If somebody is really, really incredibly busy, then a full hour is recommended. So it's like, the busier you are, the more of this other stuff we need to do to balance it out. And yet, as you say, kind of poetically, it somehow seems to make the busyness part of it fade away, and all you're doing is just juggling a lot of tasks as opposed to feeling busy.
That's exactly it. I mean, I think it really, the hot yoga in particular puts things in perspective, it's, it, you know, and for more reasons than one, but.
I don't know. You can sit there, you can be totally stressed out about something, and then halfway through a 90-minute thing it's slapping you around the head, and I know for me, I'm thinking, why am I so stressed about that? I should
For
worry
sure.
more about getting through the next pose.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well said.
So anyway, that's enough about us.
Sure.
In terms of, so we're sort of leading now up into, why do people go to yoga? What do they expect to be different? And somehow the emotional part, and we've implied this, I suppose, in talking about ourselves, that the emotional part is the thing that kind of leaps up and grabs you without necessarily realizing it at the time. Why do you think most people actually do go to yoga? Do you think it is a yearning for something physical initially?
Yeah, I think the vast majority It's about, I mean, for 100% of the people, it's about affecting some change in their lives. For the vast majority, probably getting more flexible, getting in shape, getting stronger, reducing stress, these sort of material level things. At least initially, and they may discover other benefits to the practice as they get into it. But I think initially the vast majority, yeah, it's physical. I mean, there's definitely a few of us who, a few people who got into this for, to learn how to be quiet, to learn how to meditate. But generally, like a physical practice draws the physical kind of people. People who are really, searching for quiet or searching for, learning how to meditate will go somewhere where they can sit, and this is definitely the Hatha yoga practice is a different kind of meditation. It's the moving meditation.
An extreme end of that is the hot yoga, power
For
yoga,
sure,
Bikram
for
yoga,
sure.
and it kind
Yeah,
of
absolutely.
attracts those type A personalities
Yeah,
who,
and Ashtanga yoga, same
yes,
thing.
yes,
Yeah,
yes,
for sure.
yes.
And then there's still others who are sort of pulled by this quiet, kind of the same thing after I started yoga. There's this sort of quiet yearning, like a spiritual yearning, a yearning to know themselves better, a yearning for freedom, a yearning for truth, and maybe, they've sort of heard something of yoga and they feel that yoga can offer that. And I'm sure there's lots of people who go to yoga, for the first time because of that as well. But I'd say for the most part, vast majority is definitely physical, mental.
Yeah, I'm sure you probably had the same situation as we have, where in our studio we had people come in thinking it was going to be quiet and meditative,
Yes.
and they walk
Yes.
in through the door and the heat hits them, and the pranayama, they're just about out.
Yeah, for real.
We actually learned quite specifically to be very direct in our advertising to make it quite clear this is going to be quite physical.
Yeah, I think that's important.
Yeah, it is important, but as you say, it's probably the reason. It's not necessarily the sticking reason. I think particularly for the hot and power yoga practices. So, can you talk a little bit about this? I've heard you as an instructor and being in your class. I've heard you say these things. You come for change. Change isn't always easy, right? But you look at yourself in the mirror and you come here because you want to be different. And yet, with some of these repetitive practices like Bikram or hot yoga, we're doing the same pose over and over again, and it's really easy to fall into a routine, into a habit, especially for the more regular hardcore students. But still, as I think you, I've heard you say this, what's the point in coming if you don't expect to be different an hour and a half later?
Yeah, isn't that the paradox, right? It's like everyone's coming to affect some change, and then we're all so resistant to change.
So, what can you expand a little bit on that, and I'm not necessarily asking you to give a formula, but how do you experience both as a practitioner of yoga and also as an instructor, those emotional changes? How do they come about? Do they come about when we let go? Do they come about when we focus on them? Do they just arrive? What is there anything that people can do really to understand this better?
Say that again, because you touched on a couple of things there.
Yeah, it's a packed question, I know. So, well, first of all, what is the emotional personal change path through yoga? Are you coming through physical, and then how do we embrace that further? And then I'll ask you later on if you have some tips about how, folks can deepen that for themselves.
Sure. I mean, it's self-study, I mean, you come into the yoga practice and regardless of your level, you're going to get to know yourself better. So you're going to get to know your hamstrings better, let's say. You're going to get to know how your body moves, how your body works. I mean, through your own intuition, through the words of the instructor. And through the actual teaching itself, like the energy of yoga, of the yoga practice that's been passed down for, hundreds of generations. And I think it's just a natural transition when you get, once you get the energy, the momentum of self-study going, or self-awareness, I should say, it becomes self-study. So you become aware of your body, and then you become aware of your mind processes. Because here you are in this class, let's say, particularly in the power yoga or the hot yoga classes, where you're taxing the body, but you're also taxing the mind. And can you find peace, at the extremes? And how can and what where does the mind go when you're pushing yourself to the edge, when you're moving into that discomfort zone? And then takes the process that step further. So it's not just body awareness that you're gaining, it's now it's mind awareness, and ultimately, self-awareness. And that's, the goal of yoga is self-realization, is ultimately to realize who we are, and the truth of who we are, not who we think we are. So first we have to discover who we think we are, and acknowledge that that's not who we are. And then we go from there. And it's a really, it's a clear path. It starts particularly Hatha yoga. It starts with the physical, into the mental, mental, emotional, and then into the spiritual. And it's beautiful. It's a science, and it's an art, and it's such a gift.
Well said. So, what I'm hearing then is that for you, that is a very definite path where there's a self-awareness leading to self-study, which allows the physical to lead to the mental exploration, which it allows us to explore who we think we are, and then when we let go of all of that, we become self-aware and we understand who we are.
Exactly,
And so that the spiritual element, which I know for some people it has them running to it, and for others it has them running away from it. There seems to be a Western fear that if they go to a yoga class, that they're somehow going to end up reciting Sanskrit.
yeah.
How do you see the sort of spiritual path relating to, let's say, traditional religion? Is it exclusive, or is it inclusive, or is it somewhere in between?
Yeah, of course it's inclusive. I mean, I don't even know the word for it, but it's like non-denominational. It's it's a it's a it's it's like a whatever your connection to spirit is, whatever your connection to the big energy is, and even if that connection is a no connection or a non-connection, there's still the yoga practice is rooted in nature, right? I mean, the poses are named, after animals, and there's the tree pose and the triangle pose, and these are all like these are elements of nature. So whatever, I mean, even just if people are just focusing on their bodies, let's say they're just there to get, more flexible, they're more open hamstrings. They're focusing on their hamstrings, and their hamstrings are nature, in essence, God. So they're getting that element, even if they can't intellectualize it. And once we start to intellectualize it, once we start to bring that into our practice, like there's a real appreciation of the wisdom that's been handed down, the love element, the compassion element, the gratitude element. Empathy, all of these things that are a part of every yoga practice are really spiritual elements. So once we start to embrace those and bring them into our yoga practice, and hopefully bring them into the rest of our lives, because we practice yoga for the practice of life. Then everybody can have it can be a spiritual element. You can still go to church on Sunday or or mosque or wherever you're going to go. And the yoga practice didn't interfere. If anything, it enhanced your connection to to whatever that is for you,
Yep,
to
so.
spirit, to the big energy, whatever you want to call it, to the universe.
But I really like the way you connect the macro and the micro there, though. That I'm thinking about what you're saying about hamstrings and. I can recall being in class and frustrated, with the physical issues of the hamstrings, and then suddenly recognizing that it is only nature, and that I can, I can interact and engage nature in different ways other than just frustration. So
for sure.
I decided to be compassionate to my hamstrings and talk to them.
Funny,
it sounds really weird, but I actually, you know, this is the really weird world of the internet. I actually put it up on my Facebook status because I just thought it was funny that I was talking to my hamstrings in class. And I put it up there, I was talking to my hamstrings in a child and asking them to release.
Robert.
I know, yeah, exactly. It's so woo-woo, isn't it?
And it's
and some natural therapist pinged me on Facebook to say, could you explain that more, please? sure, no problem. And it's related in what you said. It's all part of the same thing. So.
Yeah, that's so perfect, and you touched on it as well. We can be so harsh on ourselves, you know, like angry at our hamstrings, and we're not thinking I'm angry at my hamstrings, but the energy we're putting into it is exactly that. Yes. And when you know that's what we're talking about, it's creating that self awareness. Is like you become aware that that's how you see yourself, or how you talk to yourself, or even how you treat yourself. That's a really good thing that you started talking to your hamstrings and put it out there for people, because we all do it.
Yeah.
Every single one of us. And even if we're not in yoga class, you know, every time we look in the mirror, what do we see? And how are we hard on ourselves about what we look like and the shape of our face and the shapes of our bodies? And it's this really subtle, self-hatred sometimes, you know, in the sort of extreme end. It's really unhealthy, and it's really keeping us from seeing our potential and being our potential.
It sounds as if it could actually be, and I'm coming up to going to ask you about some of the resistance points, but there's a clear one that, so we come for body awareness and the physical elements of yoga, and that starts to work, and as that works, we become a little bit more mind aware, and in the mind aware state, that's when the internal dialogue could really start to take over and actually become its own resistance. You know, noticing that I don't like this or I don't like that, or this pose hurts, or this pose I'm frightened of, or you know, so the mind can be both a friend and an enemy in that path for sure.
Absolutely,
I have a question for you though, because the things that you talk about are really beautiful subtleties for an individual to experience. And what I've experienced of you as an instructor is that you somehow have an intuitive grasp of these when you're instructing as well. So you, in the room, I've heard you come up to someone and say, yeah, it's tough, right? You know, just leave it, you know, let it go. And somehow you have an appreciation that people are discovering that part of the journey themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it that you see them doing? How do you... I'm not asking you to explain your process, but clearly, if you're alerted to it, then perhaps if we can talk a little bit about that, and maybe people can recognize something about that themselves.
Yeah. I think for me, it's really, you know, every person's a mirror. Every student is a teacher, and you know, the things that I recognize in other people are the things that I recognize in me. And that, I mean, that's when we say namaste. That's really what we're saying.
Yes.
So I think as a teacher, you know, I have this perspective, you know, I'm standing in the room and I can see 30 people and I'm not practicing. So I'm not focused on me. I'm one with them. And yeah, I don't know, the looks on people's faces, the holding patterns in their bodies. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you can see fear in their eyes, and it's not a scary pose, you know, that we would consider a scary pose. There's oftentimes like you know, you'll see people or even myself in practice days where I'm like I'm weaker. I can't hold my midline. I can't hold strong and steadfast as I could, you know, the week before, let's say, and it's because I'm having some, you know, emotional turmoil in my life, or some stress, and it's manifesting through the physical. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the beauties of the yoga practice. And then I guess I get to see that as a teacher, I get to see that in my students. And, you know, I don't see, you know, I'm sure I don't see everything, but it's a really unique perspective. And honestly, one of the best gifts that I've ever been given to become a yoga teacher. The teaching for me is more of a practice than the practice itself, than the physical practice. My yoga practice is standing in front of 50 people every day, and seeing myself through them. So.
And as you say, the namaste thing, honoring the divine in them by honoring the divine in you, and vice versa. So that's nice, nice. So I guess if we were to lead into, what would we recommend, or what would you recommend specifically for students, when whether they're just beginning or whether they've been, going for years, then what I hear one thing is, simply to be the observer, as you are in the as an instructor. And notice what you notice. I've heard you say this to people in class. What's your classic phrase? What's going on? What's going on right now?
What's going on right
What's
now?
going on right now? It's a simple phrase, but it's a beautiful thing. So, what sort of what tips do you have for people who are, wanting to deepen that part of their practice, learn more about this self-awareness, increase that, and as I say, whether they're beginner or whether they're hardcore.
Yeah, well, that's a that's a good one. Asking yourself that question, what's going on here? And not just sort of, not just in your yoga practice, in that 90 minutes in the room, but really like what's going on here outside the room. What's going on here when you're driving in traffic? What's going on here when you're relating to this person? Why am I, in conflict with this person, or why am I feeling this particular way about life or whatever? The trick is not to get too neurotic about it, though, and not get too caught up in. Because it's a really, really fine line, or a really short path to self-doubt, and self-doubt is a killer. Self-doubt is one of the worst diseases that one can have, and so you kind of have to find a balance. And I've dipped a little bit too far into the self-doubt sometimes, and I've found a balance where it's healthy questioning. It's questioning without judgment. It's what's going on here, but without any sort of attachment to what's going on, to the results. So that's a good one. That's really the self-study element of the yoga practice. I mean, I can give other tips too. I mean, one of the big things for me is studying with other people who have been on the path longer than I have.
Oh yes, yeah.
That's super, super important that these people have been doing it. They've been doing it longer than you, and they may have gleaned some insights that you haven't gleaned yet. And you know the ones. I mean, you'll come across them, and they'll find you, and you'll find them. Take the time to study. If a Swami comes through your town, or a sort of big name teacher comes through your yoga studio, or another yoga studio close to where you are, go. Like, just
Yes,
go. And
yes.
even if it's just for a 3-hour workshop or whatever, just go, because you just never know. And really, it's about being in the energy of that person, not even necessarily what they know. But just because they've been on the path longer, they're vibrating at a different frequency, and to get into their energy field, even if you're not listening to anything, or you don't pick up anything that they said, just to be with them sometimes is enough. Can change your reality. So, bringing the spiritual element into the yoga practice as well, I think that's really just about intention. I mean, you can do anything. I can go and do a handstand have a few beers and do a handstand at a party, and it has a very different intention behind it than if I'm I'm under a tree and I'm communing with nature, and I'm appreciating it as such. So we can bring the spiritual into anything and everything, every interaction that we have, every step that we take, every bite that we eat, can be a spiritual experience, can be a consecrated act, and that is, it's just a matter of making it that, and that's a choice,
So if I was starting that by bringing it first into my yoga practice, because it may be a little bit more contained and easier to do, how would I do that? Is it something that you do when you open the door to the studio and walk into class? How do you set your intention?
It depends. Generally, it's a moment to close my eyes. It's always nice to block out the external stimulus and just go in for a minute. And then the intention for me is just a really clear feeling. It can be a vision to start with, a sort of vision of success, or a vision of happiness, or a vision of peace, or a word. It could be clarity, or whatever. But what's most important, I find, is the feeling. It's not just saying the word to myself, clarity. Maybe I have to do that to get the feeling, but it's the feeling that I'm searching for. And so I go for the feeling, and I just hold it. And if I just hold it for a few seconds, feel it, and introduce it as an intention. So this practice, this moment, this next 90 minutes of my life, will be as a service to God, or as a way to know myself better, or more deeply, or whatever the intention is. It's totally personal and totally different from moment to moment for everything I do. So.
Nice, beautifully said. Thank you. So, well, I guess we've covered a huge range of things from how you started into yoga through to how folks can get spiritually deeper into their practice, and even if it's their very first class, this is certainly something that they can try out. There's no question about that. So, for one, I'd like to say, unless you've anything you'd like to add, I'd really like to say a huge thank you for, given how busy you are, for making some time and for letting me pester you to say, Steve, I want to get you on record saying some of this stuff, and you've done exactly what I expected. So once again, for people listening, I'm Robert Scannell. I'm from hotyogadoctor.com, which is actually the website of the illustrious Gabrielle Reyes, my wife, and I have been speaking for the last half an hour or so with Steve Merkley from Yaotown Yoga. And Steve, Yaotown Yoga is where again?
The address is 1050 Homer Street, 10, 1050 Homer Street. So if you're ever in Vancouver, if you're in Yaletown, we're on the second floor. Come on up and say hi.
Thank you so much, and I would absolutely echo my beginning comments. And Steve has been a long-term friend of ours, and as I say, one of the best yoga instructors I've ever experienced. So,
Wow, thank you. Thank you for saying
oh, my
that.
pleasure. It's true.
Thank you,
And
Robert.
for Steve and I were talking just prior to starting the recording, and I actually do practice on various occasions using a recording of Steve's from years ago, which you probably listen to now and think, no, I could definitely do it better, as you always do, listening to your own. But they still are some of the best classes. You finish them, and I just think, wow, thank you so much. And there's always something in there, a little one line where Steve says, so what's going on right now? And it hits home.
Yeah, you have
So,
to send me one of those.
I will, I will.
Yeah, I'd love to hear it. I'd love
Yeah,
to hear it.
I will do that. Especially, yes, there's one there where you introduce yourself as Carlos, which is so he even does it under aliases, people.
Awesome.
So yeah, once again, thank you so much for spending the time, and I'm hopeful that the thousands of people around the world who will listen to this will not only get a great deal out of it, but they will come one day and experience one of your classes.
Well, you're very welcome, Robert. Thank you. That was fun for me.
Yeah, thank you, and I'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, we'll talk soon.
Cheers, namaste.
Namaste.